Hello, everyone. It is Sally and the Sister. I am Dax, and today we have a unique, special, and very interesting guest, Ryan. Ryan?
You need to not let them know who it is. It needs to be a surprise every time. So then they hear my voice, and I'm like, oh, it's this guy again. It's always going to be this guy.
You think that your voice is recognizable and that people care?
I do. Every variant of me has a unique voice.
Every variant? What, yes. What are you on the Delta variant now?
Oh, fuck.
Do I need to get
me
a new shot for you?
Oh, fuck. Let's not. Wrong variant. I was thinking more Loki stuff, not fucking.
Loki stuff?
Haven't watched Loki?
I thought you were a high key individual.
Da-da-ch. I hate you.
No, is that the one where he's now like bisexual or something?
He's not bisexual. He's
a tricycle.
Heavily into himself.
I guess that's kind of bisexual. That's... jerking yourself off bisexual? You are jerking off a dude, technically.
Yes. It reminded me of this old, like, there's a comedian who was like, you know, there's people who asked me one time about, you know, if I was gay. And he goes, I get that question a lot. And he goes, so then I did some thinking. And I'm like, you know, out of all of the women I've been with, I've only enjoyed about, let's say, 70 to 80% of the vaginas that I've been with. He goes, however, the only person I've ever jerked off is myself. And I've enjoyed that 100% of the times. So statistically speaking, I was just like, that's fucking stupid.
Yeah, well, think about it. It makes sense. Now, the question is, like, a big question, if you want to get into, like, morals of it. If you're jerking yourself off and some other dude jerks off to that, is it gay? Are you gay?
I mean, no, because, you know, he jerked off to me. That does not make me gay.
Really? I don't know. Kind of feels gay, doesn't it? A little bit?
I mean, I guess if I focus on the fact that he's jerking off, or if I do it knowing that the other guy's going to jerk off.
Or the fact that thinking about it right now is giving me an erection could be a sign. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, we're barely 2 minutes in and already to the gay stuff. Welcome to the show. By the way, that Loki thing, the whole Loki thing, I think I remember seeing something where people were freaking out about him being like bisexual now, or they're trying to change his sexuality up and everything. But I mean, if you look at the history of him, his legends, he fucked a horse.
He fucked lots of horse.
He got fucked by a horse. I'm sorry.
That's a little different.
Have you heard that story?
No, I have not.
All right. Quick history lesson legend for you that I'm going to get not completely right, but whatever. Anyways, they have a castle and all that nonsense. This dude comes up to, I think, Odin, and he's like, hey, I can build you a wall around the place super quick, but all I ask is for this lady hand in marriage, right?
Mm-hmm.
One of the important lady gods. And they're all the guys are like, yeah, the guy asked for the lady god's hand in marriage. Mm-hmm. And because he said he'll build a fucking wall for them.
Right.
So all of them were like, I don't think that's kind of not cool or whatever. And they asked Loki, hey, what do you think? And Loki's like, no, it's fine. Just tell him that he has to complete it in like 1 month. If he doesn't finish the whole thing in 1 month, then it's fucking free. Right. And Loki's like, there's no way you can fucking do it in a month. So nothing to worry about. Right. So the dude was like, you know what? Fuck you. I can do it in 1 month. And the deal was on. And all of a sudden, this dude was starting moving bricks like super quick. He was actually gonna do it. Like, he was almost finished with the wall and there was only a few days left. And they were freaking out like, dude, what the fuck? You said he couldn't do it. And Loki was like, I've got an idea. I'll fix this. And he goes off to watch the guy working and everything. Apparently the guy that was working had this horse that was magnificent and super strong and was like pulling rocks no problem and fucking making the whole process super easy. So Loki turned into a female horse that was in heat. It was all super sexy, and then went into the woods near the horse and was like, nay. And the horse was like, oh, fuck this work shit. I'm getting me some horse pussy, and ran off into the woods after Loki. And so the dude lost his horse and he wasn't able to build the wall and got all pissed off. And it turned out he was a giant in disguise. And the gods killed him. And they're like, all right, yeah, Loki, you did the thing. And, you know, Loki comes back later with this horse, and he was like, yeah, this is, I'm going to give this horse to you, Odin. It is the greatest horse to ever live. And the horse was, you know, Loki's kid.
Like Pluck Buddy?
No, not the big horse. It was the giant's horse. Different horse. It was the child of Loki and that super strong horse. And that horse had like, I forget, it has 8 legs or some nonsense. Bunch of legs. And it's apparently the greatest horse ever. But yeah, so, you know, Loki. Boned a horse. Got boned by a horse.
And then had the horse's baby.
Yeah. So if you people get uppity about, you know, the sexuality and those different things.
Loki is trisexual. He does weird
things. Yeah.
He tries anything.
He is a tricycle. Anyways, I think we kind of diverged off of what we were meant to be talking about.
God, we're never on topic of what we're meant to be talking about.
That is our on topic. It was being off topic.
Exactly. Perfect. It's wonderful, though. I love it.
And now all we need is some black clothes and chokers and, you know, black painted nails, and we'll be on Hot Topic.
There you go. It's Hot Topic's a little thing.
I have no idea. That's what I was about to ask you, because that shit was, like, big in the early 2000s, right?
Yeah.
Hot Topic. It really was. I haven't seen or been in one of those in many, many years.
Hot Topic and Spencer's.
Oh, yeah. Hot Topic and Spencer's. So that had to be the early 2000s. That was in the 90s, right?
No, that was not the 90s. That had been early to mid 2000s. I think okay. Even into the late sometimes.
Yeah. Anyways, today we're going to be talking about like the 80s, 90s, and early 2000s, because that's, you know, when we were alive. So kind of going over the nostalgia and how things changed and what we think about that. So yeah, like Hot Topic was, so was the, did the goth revolution happen and then Hot Topic, or did Hot Topic start it?
Good question. I'm pretty sure it already happened, and that's why Hot Topic took off, because there had to be the demand before the supply.
Right. Before Hot Topic, too, the goth thing was, yeah, because they had that at what, and that detention show Breakfast Club. Mm-hmm. They had the goth chick, so that's definitely a thing. But I think the goth image in my head now is a very corporate goth image.
You said corporate goth.
Yeah, because that's what Hot Topic did to everything. It made the goths that were running around now were more corporate. They had brands. They had, you know,
that's true.
Loyalties. Whereas the goths of the past were, you know, I feel like they homemade a lot of their shit. And it was all more real.
Because they had to. Because nobody,
right?
Nobody marketed to them. They didn't exist as people. They were weird. That's something from the 90s. That's something from the 90s. Weirdness was becoming more acceptable.
Yeah. And yeah, I guess in the 90s, it started really being like, we can market to anybody.
I mean, that's also the boom in technology did that. It let them see, and it let them connect to more people, and they could see how well their strategies were working, because you had the television like you always had, but then it was improved. Then you had the internet come out, and then it was just nonstop. Like every fucking TV commercial used to market to their website. Now it's just a given. You don't have to fucking market to the website. But back then they'd have like little pop-up and find us online. www.blah blah 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 blah.
www.clownsex.gov.
Shh. Don't give our site away.
That's all the government is right now, clown sex. But yeah, so that's it's an interesting phenomenon to think about too, because I feel like before that, you know, marketing was much more of a broad thing, and now
I think men did it too. I don't think it was just women doing it. I think it was men too.
What?
Hmm?
What did you think I just said? Because I don't think I said what you think I said.
You said marketing was a broad thing. And I said, no, I think men did it too.
That one, you got me. That's good. I tip my hat to you.
You're welcome.
Oh, yeah, that was amazing. So to get back on track, off track to what I was saying, everyone was in a big box, and it all got marketed to, right? And they slowly learned that they can segregate everybody.
That's racist.
It's absolutely true, though. I feel like marketing decided that it was better to segregate into different little culture groups so that they could sell specifically more to them, right?
Yeah, right. They still do that, yeah.
Well, yeah, it's so extreme now. Like, I think a lot of our big cultural revolution and the cultural wave is very different now because of how fragmented society is. Because before and everything, shifts and changes happened more in greater overall reach.
Right.
Because you weren't connected with a lot of people. So whatever was happening at your school or your area and everything like that, that was the big change, and you were just became part of it because you couldn't connect with, you know, 1,000 different people who feel just like you. So now it's like, since you can connect to the internet and connect to anybody you want, and your little group and your niche, your whatever the hell. Well, I'm a retro East German goth from the 1792 period. That's
oddly specific.
That's me, right? But you could probably go online and you could find like 2,000, 3,000 people that are like, yeah, that's the. Let's make a group about it. We'll have a goth East German con 72 and get together.
Right.
So now you don't have to change with these cultural waves because you just like you're locked in on what you want. But then again, now there's a lot of choice because now everybody has to choose your cultural standing. It's not like before. Am I rambling here? I feel like I'm rambling.
No, I love what I'm saying. No, yeah, I get what you're saying, but I love it. I mean, okay, I think that's also a bad thing in some respects to give certain groups more access to each other. But you know, not much you can do about that.
It's a weird thing. It's nice to have people that can come together, but then other people don't want to come together. And also sometimes you don't need to have an opinion on something. It feels like now you automatically have to have an opinion about everything. I remember growing up, you know, you might talk to some of your friends, but no one wants to talk about whatever this issue is. So they don't, no one cares about it. So it's just like, whatever. And people just fucking went on with their life, right?
Yeah.
Now there's some topics that we should have talked about more that, you know, floated away, but there's a whole sea of other shit that doesn't really matter that people get so upset about.
So upset.
And it becomes so dividing.
Yeah.
So yeah. The choice, and we have to make a choice now. Back in the day, it was sort of you went along with whatever flow was there. Both ups and downs on that. Ups and downs.
Yeah. I don't know which time would be better. A time where, like, I feel like we're the generation that made this generation so freaked out about everything because we were just batshit crazy throughout the 90s and early 2000s. Like, our generation is just fucked on so many levels. And we just blame the previous generation, and this generation is blaming us. And it's just, we all blame the boomers, but still.
Yeah, well, because
that's a collective, we all blame them.
Yeah, because, you know, just look at things. I feel like for our generation, it was extra rough because of the switch. I mean, we live through so many different big changes, changes in technology, changes in our social structure, changes in how we live. Like, what we're doing right now, how we live today, is so massively different from when we were 10 or 11.
Yep.
Our 10 and 11 year old life was immensely different. And humans aren't really meant to change so quickly.
So is your argument that we're no longer human?
Our argument is that, no, we're what happens when you stress humans out.
I don't know, man. I'm still for the changes. Like, I'm still for technology. Well, yeah, I think we need to change more and change harder, change faster.
That's absolutely fine. And we're now in that sort of culture where We're in a change culture, a technological change culture, or just the world seems to be okay with change now. I mean, we know what's coming. We see it happening. We're like, okay, well, there's this new thing coming out, but, you know, who knows? We'll be ready for it. If it becomes a big thing, we'll be ready for it. If it falls away into nothingness, that it happens all the time now too. But beforehand, before, like, I guess 2005, 2006, 2007, when things gone crazy, I guess when the iPhone came out, that'll be the changing point for me. I'll say when the switch really went on.
Going to blame Apple?
Of course. Okay, because that's fair. Apple was made by a boomer, so, you know, makes sense.
Yeah,
makes but sense. Yeah, so that whole fucking craziness, the sudden, all this information, all this new shit, I feel like that's where it, like, cranked it up to 11. And before that, you know, things didn't change all the goddamn time. Things were pretty solid for long periods of time.
Yeah.
And we were kind of used to that. And our parents were used to that. So now when all of this change started to happen so quickly, our parents didn't know what to do, right? Because that's not the culture. That was not the norm they were used to. They couldn't teach us what we needed to know in order to survive this new information technology age. We had to fucking just fumble around and stress out and learn that shit on our own.
Yeah.
And pick up our parents and drag them along.
Yep. You know what I mean? There was nobody to guide us through a lot of shit.
Yeah, like the whole cell phones and messaging and the social media and social networking and all that type of stuff. I'm assuming your parents aren't wizards at that.
No.
Right? It's more the kids learned that, developed that on their own, and then had to teach their parents how to do that.
Yep.
That's not a normal thing to happen.
It's really not.
At least not to the extent. Usually your parents can prepare you for most everything, and then you grow up, you might argue with them, no, it needs to be like this or that, blah, blah, blah. And then as you get older, you're like, oh, I understand what they meant. But here, you know, your parents have no idea what technology and everything, and they didn't prepare us.
I mean, it was just stressful. It wasn't just technology. Life as a whole was changing. It was, I don't want to say it was more violent. It was just differently violent. Like, people always got beat up for random things. But in the 90s, and I guess the 80s and 90s, it was more shit started becoming life and death in some situations. I know that was one thing my dad always would tell me, is he'd be like, when I was growing up, everybody would, you know, fight with their hands and so on and so forth. And he's like, I never had to worry about defending against somebody coming up to stab me or someone trying to shoot me. That just wasn't the life that I grew up with. Everybody equally fought, and then you got it out of the way. And I'm sitting here like, dude, I've never been in a fair fight in my entire life. I've been jumped so many times, and it's crazy. So we had to navigate a different society, societal norms, and the impact of technology changing and us having to navigate through that. And then everything else, like trying to defend your friends, trying to stand up for what was right. And I get it. All that stuff is around since the beginning of time, people trying to navigate society. But for some reason, the 80s and 90s feel like they were just particularly violent, like in the U.S. specifically.
Hmm. Well, there was a lot of the race going on. I mean, it's still going on today to this day. It feels like, I don't know, did it really quiet down in the early 2000s?
Not for the people experiencing it.
Yeah, that's true.
But it didn't get as bad. It just got more stifled, I guess. It got put in a closet somewhere.
Got you. Yeah, I feel like the 90s, I guess maybe the 80s, the 90s, there was so much of a counterculture wave. And then that counterculture split off into so many different things, right? And it fragmented into the different groups. And the different groups, once you start having different groups, you have different people fighting for no good reason.
Right.
So I feel like it was like a fracture. And that fracture created this whole, you know, conflict between different groups and conflict between just everything. Plus then, God, it's weird to think about, and we're no fucking scientist or political scientist here, but we're hopefully you're thinking some new thoughts with us. Shit was wild. And it was weird to think we just lived through it.
It is. It's, I think most millennials, everybody's like, oh, so many people these days have mental health issues. And it's like, yeah, that's kind of expected because look at right. all the shit that we grew up with. And other people are like, oh, I grew up with, you know, the Vietnam, and I grew up with this, and I grew up with that. I was like, dude, we were warring in our own fucking neighborhoods with everybody. Like, what the fuck are you talking about? We got our own PTSD in a different from different shit. Like, no wonder our whole generation is fucked with anxiety and all this other shit. Look how we grew up.
Yeah, we've been in the Middle East for way longer than Vietnam.
Yeah, right?
That's our generation who got to, you know, as a kid, see the Twin Towers fall. And then all of a sudden, now we had to have an opinion on the Middle East and our policy there and all of that at age, what, 10, 11, 12?
Somewhere around there. And then not only that, like, the older generations had the luxury of ignorance. We didn't have that. We were, oh, the government should tell you everything. There's nothing that should be hidden and blah, 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 blah. And media and everything's fucking everywhere. Like, we got bombarded with information and shit that we did not need to know.
The birth of the 24-hour news.
Yeah.
God, that's not a thing we need.
And they were like, why are the millennials so, like, full of anxiety and they have so many mental health issues? Dude, like, it's because that's just the era we grew up in. Like, we were bombarded with shit. And that's why, like, they make fun, like, millennials will talk about, like, suicide and all that, and Gen Z's like, yeah, fucking bring it on. And that's because Gen Z has us as their parents, and we're like, yeah, that's actually, I think, an improvement. I would rather them just be like, whatever, and not care, because we helped guide them through it, because we are the generation that dealt with this new shit, and we're able to actually guide the next generation through shit.
Yeah, we had to learn how to deal with trolls. Like, that is a thing that was fucking trolling, spamming, all of that nonsense online. No one taught us that, but we had to be the pioneers through it. People had to learn how to troll too. So now the new generation, though, they know what's up. They know when somebody's trolling. They know what's all that, because, you know, we figured it out for them. We didn't have that, man.
Yeah. Like, they're sitting here like, they didn't have the bombardment with all the porn. Like, back in our day, you had to find that shit hidden somewhere in your parents' or your friends' parents' closets or under their bed or whatever, magazines or what have you. And now it's just fucking thrown at you everywhere you look. Everything is just, you know, all about sex in some way, shape, or form, which, you know, it is what it is. I'm fine with it. But there's nobody to guide us through that bombardment. Right. It was so much information that we were given access to, and I don't want to say we panicked with it. I think quite the opposite. We fucking took it and ran with it.
Right.
And that was actually the problem.
yeah, because that's the way you react to new information. You have to compartmentalize it. You have to come up with a reaction, right? And now we went from, you know, getting information rarely through, you know, schools or parents or that type of stuff, to getting very, very radical new information extremely quickly, day in, day out, day after day. You know what I mean? Like, before the internet and the internet porn and all the sexuality that was on there, you know, you'd see a girl in a movie. And she's like, oh, I think she's kind of pretty. Is that kind of my type? I don't know. But now it's like, okay, categories, the 80 billion different fetishes that are on there listed out for you, and subcategories that you add and subtract. And now you have to question, do I like, you know, being choked, a foot fetish, having something rammed in my butt, sounding, vomiting, what's going on with this one? You know, your brain has to process that. None of that. I never even remotely imagined any of that. I just, at the younger age, it was this girl pretty. I like this girl because she has nice face. And now it's like all of that.
Yep. And then there's the idea of like there's a porn addiction that develops from looking at too much. Cause then you're like, when you're younger and you're like, oh my God, look what I found. Cause we're just surfing the internet. And then all of a sudden, now they're saying that's what leads people to more fetishes and to more depraved things. Cause they're like, the average person starts off, hey, like you said, just pretty girl. I like this. I want to do this. But then you watch so much of that porn that it eventually becomes boring. It's just bland. So then you need just something to spice it up. And then that's where all these extra depraved shit starts coming in. And you're like, holy shit. Like the whole joke about like you finish masturbating and then you're like, you feel ashamed about yourself because all the stuff you just masturbated to.
Yeah, you shouldn't feel that.
Well, no, you should not feel that in any way, shape, or form. But my point is nobody had access to all that shit before. So they didn't have to think about like, well, was I always into this or is this something that developed because regular stuff just got boring for me?
Yeah, we were the big mental experiment.
Yeah, I think we're still the experiment, but we got bombarded with so much like not just trolls, but like the fucking the advertisements. You sign up for a newsletter and all of a sudden your email is bombarded with penis pills and this and that.
All
that spam shit. And at the time you're like, oh, you're young, you don't know what the fuck all this is going on. You think, hey, this is coming to my email, it must be legit, right? You didn't realize there was all that bullshit fake shit out there.
right. Mail felt legitimate like in the past, the regular mail. You know what I mean? There was something about getting a letter. If it looked official, then it probably was official.
Yeah. So. And then this new generation's like, oh, how could you guys be so dumb to the fall for this? Like Gen Z, like, I don't understand. It's just common sense. Yeah, it's common sense because we made it common, you fuck.
Yeah.
You're welcome. Yeah. But.
Oh, man.
Poor millennials.
Yeah. Shit was. And I mean, of course, you can go. There's been huge times through the past with great turmoil and everything like that. Mm. And we're not talking about that because in the sense like, World War II and all of that, right?
Right.
That was a huge thing that changed the world immensely. But it was a different type of thing. We've been at war and killing humans for the longest time.
Yep.
It's something that is actually pretty natural to us. It's fucked up, but it's natural. Which is weird to say, but we've hit this very unnatural change.
Yeah.
And I think that's why we have a lot of the mental issues that we have now.
Yeah. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, just back in the day, you're people dying or family dying and all that shit is tragic and will have a profound effect on you. But we've known of that for such a long time that we've come to understand that and kind of knew what to do and how to handle.
Yeah.
But not so much with blasting a child with instant access to porn and some dude getting his head cut off and everything fucking else that you can imagine.
Oh, God. Yeah. Too much information.
Yeah. Too much information. And we just have to react to it
and
form an opinion.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's so weird. It's you can't help it. You just immediately have to form an opinion.
And it's weird to see, and I don't mean to touch on politics, but it's weird to see that we're taking troops out of Afghanistan right now and all that. And I don't know where I stand on that because it's been a while. I think it is time to get the fuck out of there. Like, but you're already seeing on news and shit, they're like, oh, well, the Taliban's already starting to take over again. They're already in talks with the government about how shit's going to go and this, that, and the other. And you're like, man, fuck, like we're not even fucking out yet. And it's already going right back to, and again, I'm not in any way educated enough to say that's a right or wrong decision to make. I'm not the president. I'm not the advisors. I'm not, I haven't even been to war, which is originally what my first topic, my first point was, is that you brought it up earlier that we've been in the Middle East for so long and mental health issues, like all the shit that soldiers saw over there. And it was devastating for them to have seen and or experienced, and they come back home and commit suicide or they do some kind of shit because they just can't live with it. So it's a different beast than like the Vietnam was, because Vietnam was horrible. They saw horrible shit. It just scarred them differently. And they're like, oh, well, that's because this new generation is weaker than what the old generation was. No, it's just they had different shit thrown at them throughout their whole lives, and then different type of war thrown at them when they went to battle.
Yeah, the Vietnam thing is actually pretty interesting, because that is, again, the news played a huge thing in that, and the hippie revolution. So when those veterans came back from Vietnam, they weren't treated well.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Right? And that played a huge mental effect and everything on them. Now, we have this generation that went to the Middle East, Afghanistan, and all that. Now, even if they come home and are treated well by their family, they still have that instant access to a thing, to the internet, which will bombard them with people that hate them.
Yeah.
With, you know, before, if you had a loving family and everything, you go back and you could forget about it. You could forget about the war. You could try your best to come back. Some of them couldn't do it, and they didn't get the help that they needed and everything. So they were just left on their own, which is horrible. But now the difference is the war doesn't go away.
Exactly. You come home and it's right there on the internet.
It's on the internet, it's on the TV, it's everyone's political and talking about it, so it'll never go away. You'll never escape it. It's always there and always reminding you. Suicide rates for the troops, they're higher than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sad.
That is. And that's, we do need to take better care of our troops. That's the weirdest thing to me.
Yeah.
How privileged are you to be like, hey, I didn't have to go fight in this war or to defend the country or to do whatever. Even if you disagree with the reasoning behind it, they didn't have to physically force you because other people stepped up to do it.
Right.
And sometimes they didn't agree with it either.
Yeah.
But they still went to go do it because, you know, they felt it had to be done. And I'm not going to get into like whether the war in Iraq and all that should have happened, Iraq, but it happened. Still, they went. Yeah. Same with Vietnam. You didn't like it. We didn't agree with it. We shouldn't have been there. We shouldn't have been involved. Cool. I don't necessarily disagree with any of that. But the fact is, it still happened. We still were there. And you didn't have to go because some people did get forced in Vietnam. Yeah. But
unless you were, you know, a politician's son, then you could do cocaine and do whatever the fuck you wanted.
Right. But with Afghanistan, Iraq, with everything over in the Middle East, we had people who volunteered. We didn't have to do a draft. And then to treat them shitty and be like, oh, well, you only went over there to commit war crimes and you're a piece of trash for fighting and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, well, dude.
Yeah, that's not what you want to say. But we're also to the point, though, that you would say that about the fellow Americans.
Mm.
But the internet is around the world. So you get people from all sorts of countries who don't give two shits about, you know, the fact that you fought in a war. So they didn't, because they wouldn't have mattered, because they're from another country. So it's just like, how do you deal with that?
You know, you just reminded me and my wife were talking about that, something about that yesterday, where we were talking about what if Texas decided to secede from the United States, because it's written in that they're allowed to do that. The other states are allowed to secede because they're allowed to create their own governments if they feel that the government is not representing them well, right?
Mm, right.
So I can totally see Texas being one of the states to be like, ah, fuck it, because they are already off so many grids anyway, because they didn't want to be part of the government.
Right.
So we were talking about like, well, what happens then? Well, then the U.S. has two options. They can either recognize them as their own entity and say, hey, go with God, you'll be all right, you know, whatever, give us a call if you need us. Or we can fucking strong arm them and be like, oh, you think so? Nah, you're still part of us, and we're going to enforce that right now. And then I thought about that, and I was like, how would that play, though? Because look at what happened with China. Other countries would jump on that shit in a heartbeat and call us hypocrites and all this, that, and the other, because Hong Kong tried to become their own thing and get away from China. And the U.S. supported them openly, condemned China and all kinds of shit. So how would that, I don't want to say how would that make us different, because there are clear differences, but like, are there? I mean, if Texas is like, hey, we want to secede and we're our own place now, and we're like, no, you're not, and then we take it back by force, other countries are going to jump on that. And then what does that do for us as a superpower? Like, how does that make us look when we're trying to lead the world? And I just thought that was an interesting idea, or interesting way to look at it.
Yeah, because we're damned if we do, damned if we don't, because if we don't, then it looks like we're weak. Oh, you can't even keep your own territory. You're letting it fall apart. Mm-hmm. Where, and if we do strong arm, then yeah, then you guys are hypocrites and you're against freedom and blah, blah, blah. So yeah, it would be a rough situation. And it wouldn't be good for anybody. It definitely wouldn't be good for Texas. They might think it would be, but it's not. It'll be the whole Brexit thing.
Brexit.
It'll be like that. Because that shit is not working out like they thought.
And several people knew it wasn't going to work out like they thought.
Yeah, a lot of people knew it wasn't going to work out as they thought.
But that's interesting, yeah.
Yeah, I think even like Northern England wants to break away from Southern England so that they can re-enter the European Union. Damn.
Yeah, it's weird. I think the United States, Canada, and Mexico just need to combine. No, not Mexico. Like, all of South America. We all just need to just fucking combine. North America, South America, Canada. We just need to fucking, like, bloop.
One super conglomerate.
Exactly. And just fucking be done with it. Just be like, you know what? We're not worried about our borders here because we are all us. And we don't even have to call it the United States anymore. We can call it something the fuck else. Just can't be...
America.
Mm. Yeah.
Because it's North America, South America.
I don't know if Canada would be with that, but yeah.
Comerica.
America. Merca. Yeah. They would not be okay with that.
We'll make it Comerico for Mexico. Oof. We'll have the O at the end. Comerico.
There you go.
Why not?
I mean, we already have fucking Alaska, which, let's face it, that's Canada.
Yes. Canada. But then you're bringing up a point where now I don't want that to happen because you know who came from Canada.
Oh, God. Who?
Politician. Lady politician.
The one who can see Russia from her porch or whatever?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, she didn't come from Canada. She was from Alaska.
Well, yeah, but you just were bringing up the point that Alaska is basically Canada.
Yeah. But look at all the other people Canada gave us.
Justin Bieber. He's Canadian,
is it Beaver?
Right?
Is it Beaver or Bieber?
I call him Beaver.
I figured. You know, I hate myself, but his newer music isn't as bad as his old music. He's kind of growing on me, and I hate myself for it, but I know.
Bro, it's not a good look.
It hurts my heart. I heard a song one day, and I was like, oh, this isn't bad. I get my peaches out in Georgia, and I'm like, oh, that's Bieber. Okay, well, I like this song. Fuck.
You get what the fuck type of song are you listening to? You get peaches out in Georgia?
You have to hear it. It's a catchy song. Stop being in Japan. Come back over here. Embrace the us.
I'll give you a pass on that. Actually, I think it's admirable that you're looking past the names and just at the music itself. I feel like that there needs to be more of that. I hate falling into that idea of that I'm gonna just hate something because it's not what I'm grew up with. I don't want to be that. I don't want to be that old man. It's just angry at all the new things.
Dude, it took me so long to start listening to new rappers and all that, to new musicians. I couldn't. I was stuck in the 90s and 2000s for fucking years. Years. And even the people I listen to now only got into my head randomly thanks to like Spotify and shit. Just recommending and throwing names at me. And I'm like, oh, this song's pretty cool. Who is this? And I was like, I don't know who the fuck this guy is. And I'm like, is he new? Nope, he's been popular for like 3 years. I'm like, oh, okay, well. Fuck, I guess I have new shit to listen to.
Yeah, the TikTok compilations and everything are getting me, like, on YouTube, shit like that.
Mm.
The music that they have in the background sometimes, I'm like, what the fuck is this? So, learning new music from that shit. Not all of it good, though.
It's so weird, dude. I'm only 34, and I feel like I'm 62 sometimes, and I don't know what to do with that information.
Yeah, because again, if we're just looking at music, our music choice and everything, the amount of music that you could choose from in the 80s and 90s compared to the amount of music that you can choose from today is like a billion fold.
Yeah.
Like, where the hell did you hear new music back in the day? On the radio.
On the radio.
That was it. Now on the internet, you can find every music that ever existed.
That ever existed. And that's not even a fucking exaggeration. That's the insane part. That's not even an exaggeration. You can literally find every piece of music online that ever existed.
Right. And before, too, God, how how music companies and everything were struggling with people downloading music.
Mm.
Now they just have their own fucking YouTube channels and just look it up.
It's funny how that works, right? They thought Napster was going to kill the industry. And the industry's thriving now because of streaming and shit.
Yeah.
You just fucking adapt.
Right. They had to adapt or else. The people that were freaking out about it because they didn't know internet.
Mm.
Right? Because there was no one there to teach them that, no, this is a good thing. you can use this. And fucking us goddamn millennials had to be the ones to figure it out and be like, hey, wait a second, guys. You can make this work. We figured that out.
Yeah, because when I was growing up, this is what I really liked to do. Because I pirated everything, and let me tell you how you can make money off of it.
Right. We saw the bootleg system that came up, and this peer-to-peer sharing, and all this other nonsense that came up that was shady as fuck, and we got 20,000 different viruses that we had to explain to our parents. While there was a titty girl that appeared in the corner whenever they tried to log in, what that was about.
Oh, God. And half the time, you got that shit, and you're like, it wasn't even porn-related what I downloaded. It's like...
Right.
It had nothing to do with that. If I, like, I'm in trouble right now for looking at porn on the internet, and that wasn't even what it was about.
I was just trying to download Linkin Park.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Oh, man.
Got a little real there, right?
That just made me sad. Fucking Chester Bennington, man.
Yeah.
Dude was amazing. That shows our age, too. Like, who's your favorite? I guess I consider them rock, but who's your favorite rock band? Mine's Linkin Park, hands down. And that shows my age right there.
Not Evanescence?
No.
Evanescence
is pretty cool. I like them and all, but Linkin Park was it for me. Chester Bennington.
Sorry, I'm having a stroke over here. Don't mind me.
Don't worry, I don't. You can stroke out on your own time. But yeah, Evanescence was cool. They disappeared for a while, and I found out it was because they were dealing with label issues because the lead singer, the chick, she didn't want them to be marketing her as just a chick because they were like, oh, dress sexy and do this and do that. And she's like, dude, I'm like the lead singer. What the fuck are you talking about? And I guess eventually they broke away from the label, and now they're doing their own thing, so they're coming back again.
Really?
Yeah.
Aren't they like 90 now?
Oh my God, don't say that. The only reason Linkin Park stopped making music is because Bennington killed himself. And then...
Well, yeah, that's pretty difficult to make music.
Mike Shinoda still makes stuff, and I like it. It's all good. He had this whole album afterward.
Mike Shinoda.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, I don't know about that.
What are the other big bands?
From our era?
Yeah, more like the Napster download era. LimeWire.
Red Hot Chili Peppers. What were
you downloading? Oh, yeah. They're still doing shit, right?
I think so. Foo Fighters.
Right.
I'm sure Beck was a thing, but he wasn't on my list.
Eminem,
of course. Of course. Eminem. Like, so if you're talking about my list, Jesus, dude, it was mostly rap. Eminem, DMX, Tupac was up there a lot.
DMX. Oh, shit.
I know. That's another one. Sad. Fuck.
Wait, what happened to him?
He OD'd and died this year.
Oh, this year?
Yeah.
Oh, well, shit.
He died a couple months ago, I think. He was doing drugs and had a heart attack or something.
Really?
Yeah. It's a shame. Nobody saw it coming.
Yeah. That's the same with Old Dirty Bastard, right?
I think so, yeah. He went to go record. He was complaining about having chest pain, went to record, and then...
Damn, man.
Drugs, man.
They ain't good.
Fucking drugs.
Took out Michael Jackson.
Mm. I've heard some people say that he was murdered by the doctor.
Well, kind of. The dosage that he gave him was like, whoa.
Yeah.
Hey now, trying to put an elephant to sleep here?
No, just trying to kill a star.
Yeah, worked. Yeah. But I mean, again, who knows? Michael Jackson probably was taking so much shit that it was like he might have needed it.
Mm. And then there was Prince. I think he was drugs too, wasn't he?
Prince?
Yeah, Purple Rain.
Yeah. Did he die?
Yeah.
Wait, what? Why am I just now hearing of all these people die? Are you fucking with me?
No, Prince is dead. DMX is dead. Chester Bennington's dead. You didn't know these things?
I knew the Linkin Park one.
Yeah, DMX. Prince died.
He died fucking 2016?
Yeah, Prince has been dead for a while. Yeah.
What the fuck?
DMX died this year. There's a lot of people who died last year.
Next thing you know, you'll be like, yeah, you died like 2 weeks ago. The fuck is going on?
You walked through a teleporter?
Right, yeah. God fucking Christ.
Yeah. Dude. It's just insane, man.
Yeah. I want to feel like that makes us special, that all our celebrities are dying, but that happens every generation.
Yeah. Especially drug-related stuff.
Yeah. I don't know if it's worse now or if it's getting better.
No, we had the war on drugs and that saved everything, didn't it?
Oh, yeah. God. We lived through the war on drugs.
And the war on obesity.
We're veterans. Yeah. We got our asses stomped in both wars.
In both wars. The war on drugs was really just a war on black people mostly, but we're not going to go there.
Well, yeah.
The war on obesity.
But you can't just come out and say that.
The war on obesity. Oh, I did. And I'm going to. The war on obesity. Yeah, we lost that too. Hard.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, McDonald's kicked us in the nuts.
McDonald's won that one.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus. And then we had
war, you say.
Little wars.
Man. What yeah. other what I, but you know, for all the shit that the war on drugs and everything, you know, grand failure and war on obesity, all that grand failure. But it did give us great advertisements.
Yes.
And those little pop-ups and things like that. I don't know what about them, but they're charming. I guess it's because I grew up with them that I'm nostalgic for it.
Yeah.
But like we were talking about gopher cakes. That gopher cakes commercial to me is so charming and so like of that time.
That was genius.
And the do you remember any of the war on drug, like the commercials that they did?
No, I don't.
I remember the This Is Your Brain and then This Is Your Brain on Drugs.
I do remember those now, yeah.
That shit was, yeah. My sister, I remember, had to do a poster about fire prevention. And she just copied that. It was like, this is your house. This is your house on fire. Any questions? And she won.
Nice.
Got first place.
Nice. Nice.
Yeah.
I do remember the other... Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Nothing important.
I was just going to say, I remember the commercial where the guys got really high and they went to go for, they're like getting the hella munchies or whatever. And they were let's go out for a drive. And then they run over the little girl on a tricycle or a little boy on a tricycle, whatever it was.
Oh, yeah. God, that was so good. Didn't they make like a bunch of parodies of that?
Yeah, because it was stupid. That's not what you do when you're high. Like,
yeah.
When you're drunk, maybe, but high is a different beast, man.
Oh, man. And then the one where they're smoking on the couch and, like, the girl deflates.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. I forgot about that. And then the one with the drawn one with the dog.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Where the kid's just laying there and the dog walks up and he's like, is that a cigarette or is that a joint or whatever the fuck he called it? And the kid's like, yeah. And the dog's like, I'm disappointed in you. Bitch, what?
I remember there was a one where the dog was smoking something.
That may have been a parody. Oh, wait, no.
And it was like, I'm a dog. What's your excuse?
Yeah, I do remember that now. Oh, shit.
And I don't know why, but whenever I think of those, I also think of the fruit gusher commercials. Where the kids turned into fucking fruits and, like, exploded.
Oh, my God, yeah. What the fuck was wrong with us?
I don't know. And that's the thing about that, too, is, you know, we can't, at that time, for a long time, we couldn't go back and watch those commercials. You know, they were just, like, these little fragments in time, mm-hmm. in our own memories and everything. But now... we can fucking watch all that shit.
It's amazing.
I mean, we've lost some of them. Some maybe the local commercials or the smaller commercials. But those big commercials, I'm sure, are still on the YouTube now and everything.
Yeah.
Probably managed to survive.
And all of their grainy glory.
Yeah. And any of the commercials now are forever. You can find any commercial fucking for anything for all time now.
Yeah. Wasn't there a commercial? I don't know if this is a war on drugs or if it was just a PSA on gun safety, but wasn't there a commercial where one kid, like, they found the gun and then the one kid shot the other kid by mistake because they were high or something like that?
Yeah.
And it's like, our commercials got really dark.
Yeah, they were going for, like, shock value on some of them. I don't know why, but that just reminds me of the... what is that? The M. Night Shyamalan movie? I See Dead People?
Yeah.
What was that called?
Sixth Sense.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I just remember the boy who was like, my dad has a gun. You want to go see? And he like turns around and the back of his head is blown off.
Yep. You remember... You remember the Got Milk commercials?
Yeah.
It'd be like one. That commercial I'm talking about could have been a Got Milk commercial from the 90s or 2000s. That's how insane those were. One kid sitting there smoking a joint. Hey, my dad has a gun. You want to see? Yeah. Don't worry, dude. It's loaded. Bang. Or it's unloaded. Bang. Got Milk.
And what's really weird about that is I have... after the whole Got Milk thing, I have never seen a commercial for milk. Who needs a commercial for milk? Everyone, we know milk.
It's in our cereal every morning.
Yeah, why do you need to advertise milk? We know when we need it.
They were worried that they were going to lose their brand to something better than milk.
To what? What is the replacement for milk? What is the competition for milk?
I don't know, man. Everybody just got fucking airtime and they were like, oh, word? Internet's a thing?
Yeah, exactly. Well, then, that's where we're going to call it for today. Bye, love you, bye, everybody.